Have you ever come to the second book of Kings and you get to chapter 2 and you see these two stories about Jericho and about Bethel? Jericho's waters being healed and Bethel, the 42 young men dying because they're killed by a she-bear. And you just wonder, what in the world is going on? Well, that is in July 5th's reading. And so what we're going to do just real briefly in this podcast is explore a tale of two cities. The tale of two cities involving Jericho and Bethel. Let's first of all kind of understand the background of these two cities that are talked about at the end of 2 Kings chapter 2. First of all, Jericho is a place of past judgment, all right? Up until this point in Scripture, bad things always happen at Jericho, as a general rule. Joshua 6 and Joshua 7, we see the conquest of Jericho, but after it's taken over, Joshua puts a curse on it. But then in chapter 7 of Joshua, we discover that Jericho was also the place of great sin. Achan troubled Israel. He sinned, and God judged the entire nation because of the sin that happened there at Jericho. And then we get to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, and we discover that Ahab had allowed Jericho's walls to be rebuilt. And so Jericho, it almost symbolizes in 1 Kings the return to the way things used to be before Israel came into the land. So the Canaanites ruled the land with great wickedness, and now Ahab is bringing Israel into that great wickedness as symbolized by Jericho. So to begin with, Jericho has a very bad connotation to it. But then we look at the city of Bethel. And Bethel is a place of past blessing. Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, Abram built an altar there. Genesis chapter 28, verse 19, this is where Isaac had his dream of with the ladder that went up to heaven. Genesis 35, verses 1 and following, we see that God sent Isaac back to Bethel to renew Isaac's family's devotion to God, and God spoke with Isaac at Bethel again. And so Bethel has always been a place of past blessing before we get to the book of Kings. Now, when we get to the book of Kings and we're in 1 Kings chapter 12 and 13, we discover that Bethel's now one of the places where Jeroboam built one of his two golden altars to lead Israel away from worshiping the one true God. But generally speaking, Bethel in Israel's history has been a place of great blessing. So the incidents at Jericho and Bethel, they are really complete here in 2 Kings chapter 2. They really are complete plots in and of themselves. But they answer a question all having to do with Elisha's new authority as Elijah's replacement. Elijah, earlier on in the chapter, he's gone up into heaven with the fiery chariot, and now Elisha stands, and this is the record of his first two miracles. And they are his miracles, and they have to do with him because people are either coming to him and accepting him as the authoritative prophet, or they are rejecting him and being judged by God because of what they've done. So what's happening with Jericho in chapter 2? Well, the land is unfruitful because the water is bad. Now, when the Bible says the land, it could refer to the physical ground, or it could refer to the people who are living in the land. And I think it's better understood as the people who are living in the land were unfruitful. Because of the water, there were miscarriages that were going on, and they weren't able to have children. Children were often seen as a blessing from God, and when God would bereave someone of a child through miscarriage, or later on when the child is grown, take them away from a parent, that was always seen as a judgment from God. You can look at Leviticus 26, verse 22 to look at that. So Elisha directs the men of Jericho, after they come to him, to give him a new bowl of salt, and then he talks about how the salt's a symbol of purity, and then Elisha pronounces, "Thus says God, the Lord, I have healed." And automatically, the waters are healed, and it talks about how this happened according to Elisha's word, and now the place that had been a place of such judgment and curse, the place that was the site of Israel's first sin, that earlier on in the book was an example of how bad and wicked things had gotten in the land of Israel when Ahab allowed it to be rebuilt. Jericho is now representative of all the people who are coming to Elisha and are humbling themselves before the prophet of God and saying, you're the only one who can help us because your God is the only one who will help us. So because her inhabitants humbly sought after Elisha, Jericho enjoys the blessing of Yahweh. And so in this first city of the Tale of Two Cities, we see a great turn. The place of judgment has become the place of blessing because the people have humbled themselves. So after the miracle at Jericho, Elisha goes up to a place, he doesn't go up to Bethel, he crosses past Bethel, only to be met by a group of young boys who come out of Bethel, and the young boys mock Elisha and say, go up, bald one, go up, bald one. And Elisha curses them in the name of God. And then after he curses them, two she-bears come out and kill 42 of the young boys. And immediately you're like, whoa, he has anger management problems. Why would a prophet of God do this? Well, it's a hard passage to understand, but let's just walk through a few key points that the text gives us, and I think we'll understand what's going on, how it connects back to Jericho, and get a good message out of it in the end. First of all, these young boys are responsible, moral people. As in, they were not just 2 and 3 year olds. They had enough knowledge in and of themselves to make a choice that God would look at and say is either right or wrong. The words that are used, you know, young boys or boys, it could refer to someone who's old enough to receive a commendation by God. All right, that had happened to Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, earlier on in Kings, where God looked at Abijah and said, this young boy has loved me, therefore I'm going to bring him to myself. So a young boy still has the opportunity to either please or displease God and to know that they are pleasing or displeasing God. And so these young boys came out from Bethel for the sole purpose of mocking Elisha. They saw him from the city, they came out, and they wanted to inflict some type of emotional pain on the prophet of God. They are responsible, moral people. They're not just toddlers. Second, the boys are guilty of rejecting Yahweh's prophet, not necessarily mocking Elisha's person. The offense was ultimately against God. Their taunt, O bald one, kind of compares his physical features to that Elijah, who was the hairy guy, and now we have this bald prophet. So it could have been saying, hey, you're never going to be someone like Elijah was. But what they tell Elisha to do is more important than the personal comment, and that is to go up. Now, what do they mean by go up? Well, there's three possibilities. The first one is to go up and worship at Bethel. In other words, they're taunting the prophet of God to go up and to participate in a false worship. That's option number one. They could say, go up and leave like Elijah. In other words, hey, if you're really a prophet, you have a fiery chariot and you go up. In other words, prove yourself in a taunting way. Or third, it could be go up and get out of here, all right? Be gone, Elisha. We don't want your kind here. We don't want your God. We don't want you. And I think that's probably the best way to understand their taunt. They wanted to totally reject Elisha's prophetic authority and say, hey, you're not really among us. We don't want you here. Get lost. All right. So the boys are guilty of rejecting God's prophet, not necessarily of just mocking Elisha's person. Third, the boys are also reflecting the attitude of their parents by how they towards God, their parents' attitudes towards God, by how they are acting towards God's prophet. All right. Bethel is the bastion of Jeroboamism. Okay. It has that altar of Jeroboam that's there. And so their punishment, the 42 that died, their death, it served as a warning to the city. Hey, if you continue to reject God, this is going to be your ultimate faith too. Number four, the boys received an appropriate curse for rejecting Yahweh's word and Yahweh's prophet. Leviticus 26, verses 21 and 22, it warns that God will send animals to bereave the people of their children if you are hostile towards his word. And what happened? You have these boys who themselves chose to reject and who are following the example of their parents. They're rejecting God's prophet, rejecting God's word, and they are judged with a covenant curse. And then finally, the young boy's judgment is also mixed with mercy. And this is something that we often miss in these Tale of Two Cities. The narrator records, so the author of Kings, so Jeremiah, he records that 42 of the children die. You say, well, he killed all 42 of them. No, it's 42 of the children. There could have been 43 to, who knows, how many hundreds of kids there could have actually been, but only a portion. It could have been a very large portion of the boys, but only a portion of the boys involved actually died. It was 42 of the children, not the 42 children, that died. In other words, even as God is judging them for their sin against him, he is also being merciful in that he does not completely destroy all the children that were involved. And so we have these two cities with their stories that highlight the application of the law's blessing and cursing based on obedience and disobedience. The inhabitants of Jericho, they seek out Elisha to heal their waters. All right, we see that in chapter 2, verse 19. And as a result, they receive blessing in which bereavement of their children, these miscarriages that are going on, is actually removed from the land. You see that in verse 22, and Connor, I would encourage you to look up Exodus 23:26, where God promises to remove bereavement for obedience. But then you have the young boys of Bethel who reject Elisha in verse 23, and as a result, the city of Bethel is bereaved of 42 of their children. And here's the message. The tale, what does the tale of these two cities tell us? It means regardless of your situation and background, God blesses obedience and curses disobedience. This is the lesson from the Tale of Two Cities, Jericho and Bethel. So I hope that, this is just a small passage in the book of Kings, but I hope that that just kind of clears up what is going on and encourage you to study out some of the other interesting passages that are going to come up in more detail.